Hey, welcome to Meat House. I'm going to beat you to this one this time, Jeff.
Again.
Again.
Well, it's 2 weeks in a row now, buddy.
I got to do it every once in a while, man.
You got to keep things fresh. I understand.
But, and hey, thanks for coming to the Meat House. We're Jeff and Chris trying to talk about meat and helping out with your meat journey. And we would get started here. Let's start with our sponsor.
Yeah, why not? Box and Barleycorn have been our sponsors since we got this thing back up and running. We are thrilled to be working with them. And oh my gosh, they are one of the longest running homebrew stores in the nation. They are a fantastic source for, you know, whether it's supplies or ingredients or just information or ideas, things like that. You give them a call, shoot them an email, whatever you need to do. They are a great source for our, you know, homebrew community here, as more and more stores are closing down. And unfortunately, that's kind of the sign of the times, but
they're still going strong.
Yeah, they're going strong, and they're what a great resource to have.
Yeah. Plus, if you give us our code of MHP10,
you'll
get 10% off your online order.
That's true. And hey, you know what else we need to thank?
Yeah.
Right off the bat, is our listeners. Thank you guys for tuning in week after week.
So appreciated. Really appreciate. And the questions we get, and just every once in a while when we see you in the street saying hi, and that you goes, oh, I know who you are. And it's okay. You guys don't generally see us, but apparently we have a distinctive enough voice. But we really appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for having fun with us here. And so today is coming an odd day for our meat. We will have a meat of the day.
Right.
Not a problem. But my son, my loving youngest son, decided, well, he took our making the cheapest possible meat thing to heart. And a while back, he started two meats and started them in 1 gallon water jugs, spring water jugs.
Right.
He took some water out, put the honey in, added yeast, and then put a latex balloon over the top of them. I think after the honey, he spent like maybe less than $20 on both gallons. Now, mind you, he did not kill the yeast with like we do with sorbates, the metabisulfate and potassium sorbate. He killed it with heat.
Okay.
He did not stabilize anyway. He racked. Mm-hmm. He didn't stabilize anything. And he back sweetened. But other than that, that's it.
So
he made the most basic meat he possibly could.
Reiterate to me, he killed it with heat. What was his process there?
He left them in the jugs. He put it in a large thing of water, mm-hmm, with a thermometer on the side, electronic thermometer on the side, and heated up to 125.
For how long?
For about 10 minutes.
I don't think that's enough to pasteurize.
Well, but I wasn't there either, so... You know, I don't see any bubbles in the bottle. How about that?
For those of you listening at home, and no offense to Rowan here, but I think this is another case of, hey, maybe don't do that specific thing. There are better ways to do this. But
this is, he wanted to make this as cheap as possible. And although he may not kill all the yeast, he got a fairly clear product. I mean, looking at it right now.
Yeah, that's...
It's a little murky, not bad.
A little hazy, but it's not bad.
And he sent us a couple of samples of each. He had a control which he made with wine yeast, the Lambden 47, mm-hmm, and one he made with bread yeast, generic bread yeast he got from the grocery store.
Okay. And so we're going to take a little bit of a sciencey approach to this, as not scientific as this, the production of this was made. We're going to try what's called a triangle test. So we're going to look at the... basically, we'll talk you through this when we get to it.
Yeah.
But hey, we also have our regular meat of the day, and this is one of yours.
It's one of mine.
This is your chocolate banana, which we've talked about a few times.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited because
And the chocolate banana, actually, when it first started off, friends of mine told me this tastes like you're eating a banana and then drinking a Yoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. But now it's over 8 months old. It's got a golden color.
Yeah, it's like a dark amber, really clear. And do we have legs? I can't really. These are not the best glasses for legs.
I don't see legs, personally.
Yeah, I don't see either, but, you know.
But what does it smell like to you?
It has a nice banana aroma to it that's kind of mellow. It has a little bit of a... It's not chocolate. It's almost like a little bit like an overripe banana and something else on the back end.
Well, that back end should be chocolate because I actually use cacao nibs for the chocolate flavor.
Okay.
And the banana flavoring I used was 12 pounds of mashed bananas. Yeah. And that was overkill, I understand. But if I do it again, I'm going to do it again. So
yeah, overkill is pretty okay for fruits, I think we've discovered.
Yeah. So
let's give this a taste.
Oh, that mellowed nicely.
That's
I like that. I mean, this is the first time I've had it since it's aged. So I had it when it was was fresh out of the bucket, but
And no offense to you here, but the honey, I think, is still the most pronounced, like right up front. The as you get to the palate and the like that you inhale right after the palate, strong banana.
Oh yeah.
Strong banana. But
And it's a oh it's not that artificial banana flavor you get at the store. This is banana banana.
Yeah, no.
The chocolate is very understated. I probably should have left it a little longer, but I'm not unhappy with it.
Or a little more if you're really going for the chocolate and banana, but I think that's the extra note. And you said you just used cacao nibs. It wasn't like a sweetened chocolate
No,
kind of
it
thing.
was straight
So,
cacao nibs, nothing more.
okay. That I we have had some we did we had a sponsor from like that collected cacao nibs from a bunch of different places, and we had some really fabulous Ecuadorian cacao nibs at one point that I swear almost had like a there was chocolate and kind of like a side cotton candy-ish
Ooh,
note to
that
it.
sounds
That
nice.
was really interesting. Yeah, no, you can do weird stuff with cacao nibs just like anything else. So, all right, okay.
But my wife asked me to make this many, many moons ago. And she goes, can you make, and both of our wives know this full well. If you say this to us, can you fill in the blank? Chances are yes, we can.
Well, we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Is it going to be good?
Cool. But this one's not bad.
Yeah, this came out nice. And you know, from a Yoo-hoo and a banana to no, this I think has aged pretty elegantly.
Yeah, I mean, it went, I went from a novelty drink type flavor to a nice elegant drink. I mean, it's not quite the dessert I was hoping for, but it's good.
I'll finish this glass. I like it.
Now,
So,
on to our what you call a tri
triangle test.
triangle test.
So, I'm going to narrate while my buddy Chris here does the legwork because, you know, I can make him do stuff because
Yeah, well, because I'm willing to do that.
I'm running the recording equipment. I can say, hey, do this thing. So, what Chris is going to do here while I'm talking, we have in front of us four red Solo cups. On the bottom of two of those red Solo cups is the letter A. He is going to fill the letter A Solo cups with the control mead, the one made with wine yeast. Those are the two up front. Yep.
Now, mind you, I don't know the AVP on this. I mean, this was all Rowan. I mean, if there are any measurements taken, I'd be shocked because he didn't intend to do this again.
So is this a triple blind experiment then? Since we have no information, I have no information, you have no information, and Rowan has no information.
Well, he only from his memory, and it's not, but his memory's good, but oh my goodness.
So now we're going to take the bread yeast and we're going to put that in the cups labeled B.
Now, just for the sake of telling our listeners, my son said, thinking presentation is everything, put the bread yeast mead in a used spaghetti sauce jar. Because if he's going to make bootleg hooch, it's going to look bootleg.
You know, I have no room to comment. I have been saving my spaghetti sauce jars for the mead distillation experiment that I intend to undertake at some point in the future.
Okay, it makes these a little more even. That's pretty good.
Yes, I think we're all set. So now that we have four glasses here, two with the control, two with the bread. I am going to turn away from Chris, and he is going to mix those until he feels that they are mixed.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to have Chris turn away. I'm going to mix them up too.
Now, mind you, when I finished fixing, I wasn't even sure which letters were below which cups, so.
Well, the idea is that we're both going to be confusing each other and probably ourselves.
Oh, I can almost guarantee that.
And we're only a few sips into alcohol at this point, so it's, you
This
know.
could be legitimate, not alcoholic-induced confusion.
All right. I have mixed those to my heart's content. I'm going to have Chris turn back around. I'm going to turn around. Chris is going to eliminate one of the four of his choice. Just set it to the side. And
All
then,
right.
if you would just rearrange those in a triangle.
Done.
All right. So we're going to take a look at these. The idea of a triangle test is one of the three sides of this triangle is different than the other two. So we're friends. We can share cups. We're each going to taste. We're going to see if we can determine which of the three is different. And as a side bonus, we can see if we can determine, is there a definite wine yeast versus a definite bread yeast. And this may be a, you know, a clear as day kind of a thing. This may surprise us. I don't know.
Neither do I. This now, I will tell you, my son, I've told him time and time again, and everything we've done is the basics always work. When I was teaching sword fighting to him, that was it. When I was teaching basic martial arts to him, the basics always work. When I told him about mead, the basics are honey, water, yeast. That's it. That's all you need for a mead. But you can do better by just doing some modern techniques. He wanted to see, would mead at its core base be any good? And that's what this experiment was to him.
Well, and, you know, if you want to take things a step further, core base, he could try a naturally inoculated mead.
I don't know what that is.
Basically, you set the mead out uncovered and let whatever wild yeasts take over.
Give him more ideas. Just what I need.
Does he listen to the show?
Yeah.
Well, damn it. Anyway.
He wants ideas. But he also thought about using white pine needles for the yeast.
Mm-hmm. White pine needles or any fruit, really, any naturally. You go to the grocery store and so many of the fruits are like, you get apples that are covered with a little bit of wax.
Yeah.
It was great. But if you go to like the farmer's market where they're growing naturally and you throw fruit in there, that's
yeast on it.
It's covered with stuff. Like I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. I mean, look at stuff under a microscope. It's going to freak you the F out how much stuff is just wandering around on every surface.
On second note, don't look under a microscope because you want to be able to eat things. But here we go. So I'm going to grab a cup, and I'm going to grab... Now, the triangle is two on top, one on the bottom. I'm going to grab the one upper right cup.
I'm going to sample the first one, the front one. Sorry. Very sweet.
Eat it back, sweeten it.
A little bit of a fusel note to it.
Yeah. This one does, too.
Trade you there.
Yeah, I'm going to grab the one we haven't grabbed yet. Upper left.
That one tastes very similar, but a little watery, actually.
This one tastes different. This one tastes different. I'm thinking this one that I have in my hand now. I'm going to tell you after you try it.
Okay. Go ahead and try fronty there.
Yeah, I'll do that one next.
Yeah, that's some funk. That's got some funk.
Yeah. Now, mind you, they have a slight diesel-y flavor, acridness in them.
Mm-hmm. That fusel alcohol kind of
adds to it. When we say that, it sounds horrible. These aren't bad.
No.
These are acceptable meat. I mean, I could drink this and not feel like I'm going to die.
Yeah, this is acceptable level amateur meat. That just happens sometimes. You get some fusels if you're, you know, if your temperatures aren't perfect, and if this is the kind of thing that beginners experience. Yeah,
and this is. But would I drink this meat if it was offered? Yes, I would. It's not bad. I think the one in Jeff's hand right now is the odd one out. I think it's the bread yeast meat.
This has funk. The other two do not. The other two taste clean, even though the back right one tastes a little more watery than the front one. This is definitely different. So I'm with you that I think this is the odd one out, and I think that this is the bread yeast. So we're gonna...
It is indeed bread yeast.
Bread yeast. Let's check the other two.
Yep.
Control. This is bread
yeast.
Oh,
we were wrong. The one that was watery was actually the control. The other two were from the same bottle of the bread yeast.
So I wonder if you got more like settled yeast detritus on this cup than this cup. And that's why we got a little bit more funky flavor. Because
I don't know where it came from, honestly.
Yeah, no, there's no detritus in the unopened bread yeast either. So that's weird.
It's weird. I mean, and these four glasses were made from the same two bottles. I didn't switch. We have two of each one, but I used only two of the bottles, one of each. And we actually got a flavor. The bread yeast was different flavored in the two separate cups.
Weird. So we could definitely determine which one was a bread yeast because of the funk, but we failed the triangle test.
Yeah, we did.
We did not identify the odd one out. How do we interpret that?
Okay, the way I look at it is yeast be yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are yeasts refined for winemaking, beer making, all this kind of thing. But in the end, yeast is yeast. I mean, and depending on how you handle it, you can get a quality product. And even if you have the finest yeast available, you probably get a poor quality product. And my son, just on random chance, which is the story of his life most of the time, is managed to fool me, which is not as huge an accomplishment as I'd like it to be, but an actual meat judge on the on the competition of meat. And again, these are good meats. When I put them in a competition, no.
If you wanted to improve, you would get some feedback.
I'd get feedback, yeah, but
we know what the feedback would be.
Well, yeah, and I will say that taking your meat to a competition, you're not going to be crushed. If it's a decent mead in any capacity, they're going to tell you, and they're also going to give you feedback on how to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very supportive community from my experience. And these are good. But they're very odd. Very odd.
At the end of the day, the one in the top right, I said tasted cleaner than the one in front that I had tasted first.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the back left definitely has a funkier flavor. I can't account for that, especially because they came after, this is what, maybe a quart-sized jar?
Yeah.
It's not like there's a lot of content there.
It's a beer bottle-sized, self-capping bottle. There's a little tries.
Well, that's the control, even. I'm talking about the difference between the two bread yeast ones is the one that flummoxes me because...
There's nothing.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing, no tries at the bottom. And when we look at the other jar, there's no tries settled on the bottom of that. So it's not like he kicked up anything when he opened up the bottle to pour it out.
No.
So,
you got us. You got us, Ron.
Congrats.
Congrats. Good job.
I think at the end of the day, the one made with wine yeast does taste better. But it's not that grandiose of a difference in flavor.
Either. No, it isn't. And, I will tell you, one of the bread yeast, I think it tasted like in secondary, you threw a slice of bread in type of flavor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge thing, but that's why the flavor I get out of it.
Now, did he use nutrient?
No.
No.
This was straight yeast, just yeast, honey, water. That's all he used.
That could account for part of this just because, that probably accounts for the fusel notes we're getting from both of these, to be fair. That's yeast stress, more often than not.
Okay.
And more often than not, when you don't provide nutrient, the nitrogen source that the yeast have is each other. So.
Yeah, that could cause that off diesel taste. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But he was, again, his experiment was, from the beginning, making the cheapest possible meat. Is it drinkable? The short answer is, yeah, it is. Does it have that off diesel flavor? Sure.
Yeah.
Is it horrible? No.
Yeah, it's for an amateur meat baker. Yeah. No, it's all right. I don't rate it high, but I can drink it.
Yeah.
And honestly, the control, perfectly drinkable. It's a little, again, a little bit of that.
Stress yeast.
Yeah, the hot alcohol, but that's really the only big off flavor I'm getting. I'm going to try another sip just because.
I think it was the bread.
Nope, that's control.
Okay, I'm wrong. Can't keep the thing straight when I'm looking at them.
Yeah, no, it's got a little bit of a, the fusel flavor and a little bit of a yeasty flavor. I assume these are pretty young, too.
Oh, so. Yeah, these were bottled within the last couple of weeks. Actually, that's not true. They were bottled this last week. Okay. Just this last week.
And when did he start these? Like a month ago?
A month or two ago, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, they're still fairly young meats. And I don't know how much honey he put into these, but I'm assuming it's a fair bit.
I could ask him. I mean, it's probably in the neighborhood of 3.5 pounds.
Right. So, yeah, these are, if they went to their full potential, there's a decent amount of alcohol in here. It's normal for there to be a pretty big colony of yeast. But, yeah, no, I think this was an interesting experiment. And it's interesting to me that the quality difference between bread yeast and wine yeast isn't that substantial that we failed the triangle.
Weird, but. What I'm pulling out of this right now is fact Mead making doesn't have to be hard. And even on the most complicated ones, I mean, I'm still working on my banana fluffing butter.
Right.
I'm still working on the peanut butter. I'm not doing well. I mean, fruit I can whisper to, peanut butter apparently not. But I even have a one at home that I told Jeff about yesterday. It was my wild plum, and he saw a picture of it, and it's very, very hazy. And I put peptic enzyme in, but apparently not enough. So I'm putting a little more in to see if I can clear it up any, but if it doesn't, it's still good.
Right. It's
And
just,
it's just hazy.
yeah.
And I'm not going to say that's good or bad anyway. If you're looking for clarity, it's not good. If you want a good glass of mead that's not going to offend you in any way, it's still excellent. It's still good. But the point is, making mead is not complicated. It's a game of patience and sanitation.
Right.
And we've said in early episodes and past episodes, I am an absolute bear about sanitation. I sanitize things after it's done.
Now, I don't want it to sound like we are advocating for using bread yeast in mead.
Fair enough.
I
I
think
don't.
this illustrates to me that I think mead making is kind of a game of inches. So, do you use bread yeast or do you use a cultured wine yeast? You use a cultured wine yeast, you get a little bit better product.
You get a couple inches in your favor.
Do you use Osco honey or do you use, some
Local farming.
right, or even like some expensive varietal honey? Every ad you get is a little extra towards quality.
Yeah, and then I don't advocate using bread yeast either. My son did this to try to prove to himself and us a point, which he did.
And it's an interesting point too. Hats off to Rowan.
Yeah,
It's
good job, man. I mean, I've always been proud of my children, and his experiment was shocking.
interesting.
It
Yeah.
was at least interesting,
Yeah.
but it was the fact that I've drunk, okay, we have drunk a lot of mead.
Oh,
Let's not get into that. But
well before we started this podcast
way
too.
before we started this podcast, I mean, the fact we ha each of us have bottles and bottles and bottles of mead available to us to drink at any time. But when it came down to a base experiment, we failed the test.
We did.
And that's kind of cool in a way because
And I think
look at us.
realistically, if we had somebody that made a like if they took a bread yeast and did like all of the stuff that we advocate as far as a very tight nutrient schedule, temperature control and things like that versus a wine yeast doing that, would we get a different result?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But these are this is the cheap end stuff, and
It's not bad.
it's yeah.
And we were talking about Costco. He was talking about Costco. I mean, this was literally Costco level honey.
Which,
Nothing special.
yeah, oh, it's, I think that's the kind of the, you can get cheaper honey. We know you can get cheaper honey. We know it's probably cut with like high fructose corn syrup and it's not the best quality. Costco honey at least has that little, what is it, the True Source Verified,
True Source Verified, which
that,
I just love to death. Because yes, I can make mead with maple syrup. And a friend of mine has made mead with maple syrup. When it finished, it tasted like kind of a grainy alcohol. I mean, he had to back sweeten with more maple syrup to make it mapley. You can do it. However, it doesn't mean I want to drink corn syrup mead.
Fair. Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm like just a hats off, Ron. You did a good job there. You got us. And well, there we go. All right. The next thing we're going to talk about is last time we talked, I talked about container gardening berries. And I wanted to go a little bit more in depth into that because people, okay, I cannot, because where I live in a complex, I cannot dig up my yard for a garden. They frown upon that and they keep shaking their finger and I keep saying, well, it'd be decorative. And they say, well, yeah, until winter comes, I'm sitting here going, now you're just splitting hairs.
No. One guy a street over from me has a he's done the urban prairie kind of gardenscape where like he doesn't have grass, he has garden beds with a bunch of different native plants around it, and I applaud him for it. I think it looks cool. I'm sure his neighbors are freaking
Mad as hell.
yeah. Is it
They might be mad as hell.
does it look good from the standard of a basic suburban lawn? Oh, no, hell no.
No.
Do I kind of envy him and want to do that myself? Kind of. Yeah, but that seems like a lot of work too. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's.
But I will tell you, I do contain all my gardening is container, all of it on my porch, and I'll even do, plant stakes out in the yard where I can put them, leave them off the lawn so they can kind of grimace, but they can't say I put them in the yard. But I want to leave for you with some information I've learned over the time about doing berries in container. Now there are certain, now wherever you are, I live in growing zone 6B. That's the, central Midwest area in Kansas, Missouri. And if you go to your local gardening shop, they have these plants designed for your area because they're selling it in your area.
Sure.
You're looking for, I'm starting with blueberries because blueberries are very popular, very common, and blueberries do incredibly well in container gardening, often more so than a lot of other ones.
Nice.
The thing you need to watch out for is your chill hours. Chill hours is over the course of the winter, it has to be below 45 degrees for X number of hours.
Okay.
And frequently it's around the area of 600 hours of cool in a year. If it doesn't get those chill hours in the wintertime, it will not blossom in the spring. You will not get berries.
Wild. I didn't know that. I had no idea that there was a like a an internal timer for the amount of cold it gets.
Yeah, I
I've
mean,
heard of some like seeds needing like to be chilled or something like that before they sprout, but not blossoms.
yeah.
That's wild.
Well, it's great because now you know if you're having trouble growing, look at your chill hours up for your plant. And there are dozens of each kind of berry plant. It just there are. Some require more, some require less, and your gardening center will know which ones are best for your area. So, and so you need to watch your chill hours. I mean, if you get that many, and look at your weather forecast, how many cold weather months you get are below 45. You can look that up directly.
Sure,
If you
yeah.
get more than your chill hours required, you're great. And now for blueberry bushes, you have to watch out because they need an acidic level in their soil of 4.5 to 5.5.
Right, so that's a little bit acidic, and I'm it's been an age and a day since I tried any kind of gardening, but there's some kind of an amendment you can get if you don't have that normally, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are actually compost and potting soils specifically designed for berries. So it will
That
get
makes
you to
sense.
where you want to go. And the other thing you need to remember is when you plant your, and there's two times a year to plant your berry bushes, spring and fall. Now, here's the thing. In spring, you have a chance, not a great chance, but a chance, a pretty good chance of getting berries that year.
Okay.
Depending on the plant, you can get a berry that comes once in the year, or comes several times or all year, whatever. But if you plant in the fall, it's going to get your cool hours from the very start, and you're almost assured to get berries the next year.
And I imagine like the whatever warm winter, warm weather
Warm weather,
days
yes.
remain, you're giving it a chance to like root out and get,
Yeah, this is when it's going to
whatever.
establish everything
Yeah.
before it has to do any work. And there are several containers you should use. Okay, berries need root space. They need a lot of root space. If you're getting anything less than a 20-gallon container, you're just not, you're going to get root bind and you're going to get less and less and less fruit.
That's probably where I screwed up then. I think I was working with like a 10 or 15. Yeah.
Yeah, you need at least 20. More is better, but 20 is a good minimum. Now, the other thing you need to do is you can use terracotta, you can use plastic, you can use pottery, whatever kind of container you want. I recommend grow bags. Grow bags are porous and they'll let water in easily and they don't let it out easily, so it keeps it moist. Most berries need at least an inch of water per week.
Okay.
And it needs to be a deep soak, and strawberries need to be done more, blueberries need to be done less, but it needs an inch of water to develop the berries. Here's your bite. If the grow bags, when the roots go outside the grow bag, they self-prune. They don't spiral into the pot. They will self-prune. That part of the root will die off, and it will not go any further than the edge of the bag. Huge advocate of grow bags for this point. And grow bags, they have handles. Some of them have little pocket channels where you can do a drip thing up the side of the bag. So it does help. I have 25-gallon grow bags in my basement. I'm going to do it again this year. I empty them out every year. But I'm going to start doing berries in them because I didn't realize how important they'd be for this part of it until this year. And we have in Midwestern, we've had some pretty rough winters last few winters. It's killed herbs that I thought were indestructible.
Sure, yeah.
So, if you can, bring them in. Now, blueberries also, they need full sun. Most berries need full sun. They can handle a little bit of shade, but they need their sunlight. And if they're not getting that, you're not getting as you'll get some, but you know what I mean? And every year you need to refertilize, remulch. Now, mulching is important because it holds water in and pests out.
Sure, that makes sense.
But you need 2 to 3 inches of mulch.
Okay.
It can be pine chips, it can be wood chips, it can be any kind of mulch you want.
Even like the rubber little tire.
Even the rubber little tire things,
All
it's just
right.
to hold water in.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what you go with this. So anyway, but drip systems are great because you can turn on your faucet for 10, 15 minutes and you're done.
Yeah.
And but if you want to water it, you know, this is kind of on you.
Well, and I think if I remember right, the drip systems are nice because they reduce the amount of like evaporation. So more of the water that you're putting into the plant gets to the plant in the first place. It's
Yes.
less like wastage. I mean, we don't exactly have shortages or like what I want to say, like rationing for better or for worse around here. But I know, there are spots like, drier climates where you have X amount of water that you're using and then you pay a premium if you go above that or something along those lines.
Yeah,
So.
but again, having a drip thing is you're going to get better watering for your plants with less loss. Always a good thing. Now, I recommend two things when you make your plants. Get a acid meter of some kind, test kit, electronic thing you stick in the ground, whatever, to know what your acidic level of your soil is. If it starts dropping, get it back up. There's acidifiers, there's mulchers, there's things you can add to compost, things you can add to make it more acid. Make sure you keep in that range to make your best berries. It doesn't just affect the number of berries, it affects the quality of the berries.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And and I and if you cannot get a drip thing and you can't water every day like you want to, there's one thing I found online called watering spikes.
Okay.
They're terracotta spikes. You shove them so all the way to the edge, and you put a wine bottle upside down full of water in it, and it diffuses through the terracotta in the spike.
Neat. And I imagine many of our listeners have an empty wine bottle or two
No,
around.
that couldn't possibly. I mean, I don't know how many cases I need to find for that. But yeah. But if you just fill up the water, put it upside down in the watering stake, and you can get them on the forbidden site. And they're not expensive, and you just shove them and you leave them. If they break, replace it. Big deal. But it'll water constantly until, and I've seen mine last a week and a day or two with a single bottle of water.
All
And I
right.
didn't have to water them.
That's probably a good thing for me to think of if I'm going to try this myself, because
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're not busy with our lives or
right,
anything.
yeah, no, I don't have a job or a hobby or anything, a kid,
Yeah,
that fun
no.
stuff.
Kids take a lot of time, and I have three. I know we love our kids, comma. But okay, now strawberries are a little different. Strawberries, they need a temperature range, 40 to 85. It gets too cold, they're gonna stop.
Okay.
And their pH is 5.3 to 6.5. They need more acid.
Okay.
But
Wait, 5.3 to 6, so less acid.
oh, less acid. I'm sorry, less
Yeah,
acid.
less acid.
The scale is hard for me. I didn't do well in chemistry. I apologize. But it's less acid than blueberries. Now, the beautiful thing about strawberries is you can put them in tower gardens. You can get those over those slotted tower gardens, and you can grow up in a 1 meter square area. You can get 20, 30, 40, 50 plants.
Are we still talking 20-ish gallons per plant with strawberries, or is that less?
It's okay, if you have it needs soil to it needs place for the roots to go.
Okay.
In these big, 40 plus pod areas where you stick the plant,
Right.
it's got everything behind that to grow into.
Right. Okay. I know, and I've seen like Instagram and Facebook and crap like that. People do weird stuff. Like I saw somebody make like a basically like a pergola out of rain gutters and plant strawberries in the rain gutter. I'm like, is that enough soil? I don't think that would
Not
be enough
really, not
soil.
really. I mean, it depends on how many strawberries. If you put a couple, a few, like a X number of strawberries per foot, maybe.
Well, I
I
don't
would
think we're
rather not.
gonna get a canopy of dangling strawberries like we're hoping for out
I
of
don't
this,
think you're going to get greenery, which is
though.
nice, but you're probably going to get strawberries.
Yeah, we'd probably be better off with like English ivy or something like that, even though apparently that's a terrible thing to plant and we should stop that invasive species going on. Anyway,
Yeah.
let's go back to plants
Okay,
or
so
berries.
strawberries. Okay, one thing I forgot to mention about blueberries. In the wintertime, when your blueberry is out in the cold, it's going to lose all the leaves.
Yep.
It's not dead. it's doing its cool zone hour thing.
Same with like a deciduous tree.
It's a deciduous plant.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, if it loses, if it's going to turn pretty colors and they're going to fall off, let it go. Do not throw it away. Your plant's still perfectly valid. Because I can't tell how many plants I've heard people, oh, it died on me over the winter. I threw it away. I said, dude. But no, it's deciduous. Let the leaves fall. Continue on where you may. Okay, now back to strawberries. Strawberries, they do not propagate by stem, like, right. Or plant, like, or like root by, like blueberries and others. They have runners. Mm-hmm. It looks like a vine that goes out with a little bitty pointy thing that's looking for other soil to dig into to propagate. Strawberries are invasive.
Yes.
They're horribly invasive. They will take over whatever ground you'll let them have. Container is best for these things. Mm-hmm. If you see a runner, cut it off. You're doing two things. One, you're letting the nutrients going into the system stay in the system you have. So you have better strawberries. It's not burning nutrients to try to propagate. Two, it keeps it contained, and you want that.
Fair. I remember when I was a kid, my mom planted strawberries, and our garden of various little herbs and plants and things like that, it, within 2 years, became a strawberry garden.
Yeah.
But we had some great strawberry jam at the end of the year.
You do. And even a couple of weeks ago, we had strawberry mead jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So.
But if you don't want a yard or a garden other than strawberry, go for it.
It's we're at decision time here.
Yeah, it's on you, mate.
But please go on.
All right. So now, generally with strawberries, you're not going to get strawberries the first year. It's going to be growing in the second year.
Okay.
They need time to establish. Whether you plant spring or fall, it's going to take time. You're more likely to get strawberries if you plant in the fall. However, they have to establish and bring themselves up to what their minimum requirement is.
Yeah, and I think we're skipping over the idea, like, there's ever-bearing and June-bearing and July-bearing, and there's all kinds of different... That's one of the things you want to talk about at your garden center for your specific location, I imagine.
And speaking of those, there are four types of strawberry plants.
Okay.
One is June-bearing. You get one crop a year.
Yeah.
The strawberries are huge. Okay. They're gorgeous. They're flavorful. They're nice. You get one crop. That's all you get. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to go dormant till the next year. Ever-bearing, you get 2 to 3 harvests a year.
Okay.
Two, definitely, sometimes three, depending on your weather and your climate and all that. Again, full sun, but you can get 2 or 3 harvests, and they're medium-sized. Mm-hmm. They're not huge, but they're still excellent. The day neutral berries, they're similar to everbearing. You'll get 2 to 3 harvests. They're medium-sized. They're simply, they're a similar but not same flavor.
Okay.
And it's really a matter of taste.
Sure.
The alpine are the only ones you can start as seeds.
Really?
Everything else you have to either start as a root, as a plant, or as a runner.
Okay.
And the alpine, they are small.
Yeah.
They are tiny. If you see quote-unquote wild strawberries, that's probably an alpine.
Okay.
The plus side is they are the most flavorful strawberry you'll ever put in your mouth. And there you go. That's strawberry. I mean, they need full sun. They need water more than blueberries.
Sure.
You have to keep the soil wet, deeply wet, constantly.
Well, and as we've talked about numerous times, our consternation with strawberries is that there is so much g-dang water in the strawberry in the first place. It makes sense. How do you think it gets there?
Yeah. And, you know, again, when you're making meat from strawberries, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of strawberry flavor out of that. Mm-hmm. Is strawberry meat great? Yes, it is. Absolutely. But getting bare root is another way of getting them. You can just get just the root, plant the root. It will do its job.
Yeah.
Again, grow towers are great. Terracotta is good. Plastic's good. Grow bags are my preferred. Mm-hmm. Same reasoning. They'll self-prune.
I've heard great things about grow bags. I've never tried them, and I probably should.
I'll bring you a couple over. I've got a few extra. I'll give you some. You can give them a try.
I have a strawberry plant that is apparently in way too small of a pot.
And here's another thing for you. If you're in an apartment, mm-hmm, or a place where you have limited space and you have a balcony, a wooden box.
There you go.
Works great.
Yeah.
And again, grow towers are really good for strawberries because strawberries, they by default have enough grow space inside the middle of the tower. Mm-hmm. But you can keep them all in a small area where they can't get away.
Yeah. And the verticality of it is kind of, it's space efficient too. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we have our own consternations with strawberry meads, but if you're growing something for a mead, mm-hmm, just for the sake of saying, hey, I grew the strawberries that I put in this mead, That seems like a good start.
It's such a flex. I'm sorry. If somebody walked up and said, "I grew this all the berries for this meat," I'm sitting here. I don't care how bad that meat is, it's going to be awesome. I mean, that's dedication to the craft. One of the more common fruit, I got the four common fruits I use for
Sure,
meat.
sure.
Raspberries are like second in line.
Yeah.
And I think it's blueberries after that. No, not blueberries, strawberries after that.
Okay, yeah.
But they're all, raspberries are number one flavored meat flavor.
Okay.
But they're high nutrient. Your mixes for your acid content is 5.5 to 6.5, so it's a
Okay.
little less acid,
Yeah.
like strawberries. They don't like high heat.
Okay.
So they like bright. They like direct sun. They don't like it super hot. So if you're in the southern climate, like Arizona, Texas, you're going to be struggling. You may need to cast a little bit of netting shade just because, dude, it's too hot for them. Mulch for insulation. Deep water, watering, deep root watering, and I'll tell you the number one thing about raspberries is because they're red, birds love them.
Yeah.
They can see them, and the best defense you have. Now I've heard of bird netting, fine. I heard one lady online from I'm gonna drop a name here, Epic Gardening on YouTube.
Yeah, that's a good
A
channel.
lot of great information about this, and I picked up a little bit of this information that I knew, but I didn't. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything off their channel. She does not net her plants. She does not put scarecrows up. She puts bird feeders around her lawn so the birds don't get to the berries.
Fair.
She feeds the birds so they leave her berries alone.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, yeah,
And
belly's already full.
she gets great results with that. So I'm not no 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 shade there. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have been fighting the birds.
Yeah.
But this, like every other berry I'm talking about, get your berry mulch soils from the garden center. It's going to save you a ton. I mean, you can do your own mulch mixes if you want. How much trouble you want to put yourself through? That's like growing bees for your mead. And we should probably talk about it sometime in the
We
future.
should probably talk about that.
Yeah. But so that's raspberries. Now, the one I save for last is the blackberries, the one closest to my heart. Because blackberries, to me, is the king of berries. My signature meat is a blackberry vanilla. I love it to death, and I'm gonna tweak that thing forever till I get a mead that the gods will say, "Damn, that's good." However, this one you have to water the most.
Okay, makes sense.
They are a large, plump, water-filled berry. Fortunately, but they need the least acidic type of soil up to 7.0.
Okay, so it's not even, I guess, in the pH scale, but yeah, no, the not acidic, not basic,
Yeah,
right.
but 5.5 to 7.0 is what you're going to find in your store. Sometimes as low as 4.5
Okay.
to 7.5. I mean, it's got a huge range there, but it the least acidic of the soils overall. Blackberries, there are two kinds. There are trailing cultivators. Of course, they're going to trail around the ground, and you'll have to give them some kind of support structure, keep them contained, and they will. If you give it a fencing of some kind, it will climb up the fencing, no problem.
Okay.
The vines cannot support the berry weight, so it'll be on the ground otherwise. You don't want that because that'll cause berry rot, and you're risking molds and fungus developing on your berries. And that can happen with any of them, even strawberries. If that happens, they're not getting enough airflow, and the soil may be less nutritious than it needs. However, the other kind is there's another kind of blackberry called erect berry
Okay.
cultivator. And those stems will grow up and they can support the weight of the berries. No support necessary. I recommend it anyway.
And those are kind of like raspberries where they have the canes, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Okay.
And the cane is where they get, when it sets out the canings underground, that's where you get more berries from.
Now, if I remember right, I tried growing raspberries at the old house, and a funny story about birds. Yeah, no, we had canes, and if I remember right, like the first year you plant these guys, you're going to get what's called primacanes, and you're not going to expect many berries, if any, off of
Exactly
those.
right.
Those primacanes, when they get into the second year, those are the ones that sprout berries, and it grows more primacanes to like spread. So, okay,
Yeah, that's what it is.
all right.
Now, universally amongst berry growers, and even I agree with this, the number one way to fight the birds, be the first one there.
Yeah, makes
Take
sense.
them promptly. Go out there, pull on them. The birds don't want underripe berries any more than you do. So if you pick the ripe berries first, you win. That means you have to keep an eye on it when it starts fruiting.
So fruit are they're a kind of a survival strategy for plants, and especially berries, like that are grow on bushes and things like that. It gives they rely on a secondary source to spread that around.
That's why container gardens so cool about them.
When at the old house, I had a bunch of I tried like raspberries and blackberries and things like that, and the blackberries didn't really take. The raspberries, kinda, they didn't really do much.
Buy your soil,
Yeah,
buy your acidity.
I just put it in the ground.
Yep,
So,
and we're not a good plant. Our ground is okay. Berries can grow in anywhere in North America well, but they need acidic soil.
and
They're actually
it's
active.
yeah, I imagine like our clay soil in this part of the world is just kind
It's very alkaline
of,
for the
yeah.
most part.
And that makes sense. We're basically in a karst ecosystem here with a lot of limestone underneath us.
It's
So
weird.
that tracks. Okay. But the raspberries that did pop, I didn't get a chance to get those. And apparently I found out as I was clearing the backyard, getting my house ready for sale, what happened? Because as I was going around the fence line, just kind of trimming things up, I didn't do a lot of weed eating around the fence line. The neighbor didn't give a crap either.
Oh, God.
I look, raspberry plant, spray plant, raspberry plant, raspberry plant. There's like a jillion little primacanes all along the fence line. Like, do I leave these? Do I let them go? I don't live here anymore. Or I won't live here anymore. So I'm not going to benefit from this.
No, man. And chances are pretty good if, as long as you have a fence line with a lot of bushing area, there are nests in there. I bet you there are nests not far from those bushes.
It wouldn't surprise me. On the other side of where I was finding all those primacanes, though, I also had a huge mulberry, like a tree bush thing that it probably would have been a tree if it didn't grow into the fence and kind of go in each direction through the fence.
Oh,
So,
gotcha.
yeah. That was another one of those things of you got to get there first
Yeah, you gotta get the
because
bird.
those birds.
Now, what does netting work? Kind of, but you might find a dead bird in your net at some point.
That's
Not
just.
fun.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
But I've that girl on Epic Gardening, she said she just feeds the birds, they leave her berries alone. And I'll feed birds. I'm not mad.
Why not? Yeah. And it, like, if I imagine, yeah, any animal is smart enough to go, okay, I want my calories for the least amount of effort ever. If I have a source of calories ready and stable, I don't need to go hunting for it
Yeah.
or looking for it or foraging, whatever the hell you want to call it.
And the plus thing about birds is they'll come in and eat the bugs.
Yeah.
That's a whole bunch of your problem. And other things you want to watch out for strawberries specifically, you can get slugs, snails, mites, aphids.
Ooh, yeah.
Aphids and spider mites. The best thing you do there is get ladybugs if you can, and you can order those online.
Yeah.
Ladybugs are voracious predators of those things, and they will, and especially aphids. They'll go through them like a plague and just eat them all.
Nice.
It won't take long either.
No, I remember we used to go to the when I was a kid, maybe like probably like 10, 11, and we had that big strawberry patch that got taken over. My mom took us to the garden store in town and we got like one or two of these little net bags full of ladybugs and we just opened up and they just kind of went and they're like, okay. A week later, yeah, no,
No aphids
strawberries were
left.
fine. Yeah.
Berries are fine. And the other thing, and if you're like slugs and snails, physically throw them out of your garden container is great. If they're becoming a problem, beer cup.
Yeah, I've heard beer traps are real good
Beer
for
traps
those.
work really well. I mean, I haven't had a problem with slugs or snails personally, but it is something that comes up to people.
Hey, we found a use for mass market microbrew too.
Oh yeah, there you go. Not like, can't get something better, like, well, made. Anyway, but I wanted to go over a little more in depth if you wanted to actually plant bushes. I'm a gardener. I love my plants. I have herbs, I have vegetables, I have flowers, edible flowers and non-edible flowers, roses, and berries. And I'm going to be getting that briar bush going here pretty quick.
Nice, yeah.
And I've got the seeds now, and I've just what I need, one more project. But I want to make the Queen's Mead. And that's what it's going to take.
You gotta take the steps you need to take to get to what you want. And yeah, I think you're right in saying this is a really cool flex to say, oh yeah, no, I made this berry mead with berries I grew. I mean, Ken Schramm is like the only person I know that does that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, oh
you
my
know,
God.
and I know they're on a professional level, I should say. I know that there are probably a couple guys I know that like have a, you know, they grow a handful of different plants in their backyard and make mead with those. And like, yeah, no, that's just such a, like, oh yeah, this is, I grew something from the earth with, minimum effort. And
yeah, now a little bit of love, a little bit of care, a little bit of attention. And
right.
I made a fantastic mead. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, my flex per se of growing my berries is fine. I don't get to use many of my mead. I'll go to, because A, I don't have enough space to grow enough for a batch of mead.
That's fair.
I go to farmers markets a lot to flesh it out. However, my wife makes great jellies, and that's not a bad deal.
No, that's not at all. And you probably need a pretty substantial amount of plants on a, especially if you're growing like on a balcony, you might need like 5 or 6 strawberry plants.
You'll need more than that.
A gallon.
You need a lot.
Even.
Yeah. But, if you're doing small batch, you can do it on a balcony or side. I have 7 10-gallon buckets. I simply don't have enough yard space for that. But I also know the people I get my fruits and stuff from. I'm in touch with the farmers and the growers and the people I get it from.
And supporting local farmers is probably just as important as supporting local beekeepers.
Oh, yeah. My God, yes. I mean, Beautiful Day Farms, they have magnificent jellies and jams they grow most of their fruits for. Oh, my. I just don't know how these people sleep. I'm not sure.
But so as far as like cost outlay for what we're talking about like some pots or some grow bags. We're talking about some, mulch or potting soil or something specifically for berries. And we're talking about like the plants themselves. We're talking about getting starters because usually we're talking about like a bare root plant or something like that.
Yeah. Something basic to start with. You're talking around $75 to $100
just for like one plant or several plants or
a plant or two. Now, mind you, don't think that's a bad deal because blueberry plants can live up to 50 years.
Fair. Okay.
Producing fruit all 50 years.
Okay. That's...
strawberry plants can live 20, 25.
Mm-hmm. And they want to spread.
Yeah. I mean, if you see a runner on a starter plant you want to get more of, put a potted plant with the soil it needs to grow in next to it. Aim it towards that pot. And once it established, cut it off. And you've got another strawberry plant. And off you go. And it works for all of them. They all last decades. $7,500 layout for what you need to start. That seems like a lot. Balance that against 20 years of fruit.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I think next week we'll talk about beekeeping.
Yeah, and, sounds good.
We will talk about the amount of money I have spent on bees and how little money I
got
out of this.
I know beekeepers. I love the beekeepers I know. Oh my gosh. But they say, well, you can do this and 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 you get honey. I'm sitting here. That's like too many this is
such a lot of this is and it also costs quite a bit of that, so
yeah,
I mean it's gotten better in some places and a little worse in some places, but I think at the end of the day, hey, I'm gonna usually you cut the episode short here, and I think I'm gonna take the shot here.
All yours.
Hey, thank you guys for joining us, everybody. Have a good evening. Chris, cheers.
Take care.
Talk next week.
See you then.